morning, men. Last week we talked on the subject, the question, are we to leave the world a better place or leave the world behind? And there was, I think there were maybe, three or four people who felt like they knew the answer, another three or four who thought they might know the answer, and so that was a good time. That was a good session. Last week, kind of the metaphor that we use, for those of you who may not have been here, was the idea that this life is like living in a rental apartment while we're waiting for our permanent home to be constructed. And so the question is, do you sit in a corner and not even turn the electricity on while you're waiting for the new permanent home, or do you decorate with the bare essentials, or do you go ahead and beautify the home? And so we had a good time last week. Hey, I thought it would be good to follow on to that this week in this Colossians chapter 3 with this message. How can we then, if we are not to leave the world behind, how can we be in the world and not be worldly? Kind of an interesting follow on to that. Am I too loud, or is what's popping here? So, whatever. True or false? Guys, Bible study, you know. True or false? If you put yourself into worldly situations, you will find yourself experiencing worldly temptations. True or false? Okay, let's leave it right there for a minute. True or false? If you remove yourself from worldly situations, you will not experience worldly temptations. True or false? Well, why would one be true and the other be false? Okay, so we have a little something we can play with. This morning I was, doing some research, last-minute research on false positives. We'll get to that later, type 1 errors. And it said at the top of the web page, it said, top service. I guess it must have been like rated. It was a rating. Maybe they self-rated themselves top service. But anyway, it was, you just don't trust anything on the net anymore. But it just popped into my mind, wow, topsecret.com. That would be a great name for a website, wouldn't it? And so being impulsive like I am, I went to the Google bar and I put in topsecret.com to see if somebody had already taken it, figuring that somebody probably already had taken it. But if they hadn't, man, I'd try to jump on that because that's a big investment opportunity, topsecret.com, wow. And so I clicked on it, and I don't know, because my window was only open for about a half a second, but suddenly, I'm guessing that it's a porn site because clearly, the women on the page had one less layer of clothing on Top Secret than they have on Victoria's Secret. So I closed that thing up, as fast as I could, and then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, now I forgot all these, did they load cookies on my computer, I'm like totally freaking out about this. And so, really, my real plan of action is that, I need to tell my wife exactly what's happened. And I also need to tell the leadership at the ministry exactly what's happened. And then I also need to have our tech come over and make sure the computer's clean. And honestly, it is false. It is false. If you take yourself out of worldly situations, you're not going to take yourself out of worldly temptations. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And so this morning, you know, how can we be in the world and not be worldly? How can we do that? Let's take a look at our text for the day. It's Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 1. And I think what you're going to see today is that we're not going to locate this message in your geography. We're going to locate it in your heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 reads, "Since you have been raised to new life with Buddha," it's interesting, you know, Christ is just like the most interesting concept as well as interesting person. Just for fun, let's read it like Buddha, okay, and see how nonsensical it is. "Since you have been raised to new life with Buddha, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Buddha sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Buddha in God. And when Buddha, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of Buddha's glory." You just think about how asinine that sounds. Well, you know, actually, of course, it sounds just as asinine to people who don't get it about Christ. But we who love Christ, these are precious thoughts. They're expensive thoughts, too, because they've cost our Lord and Savior a great deal. Let's read it again now correctly. "Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand." And then this next verse is the passage that relates to how we can be in the world and not be worldly. Paul writes, "Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth." Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. "For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory." Well, let's take a look at the outline for the morning. First, I want us to talk about what does it mean to not think about the things of this world. Then we'll talk about some false positives. And then we will talk about a little bit about what it means to think about the things of heaven. The text says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So what does it mean to not think about the things of earth? Well, does this mean that we're not supposed to worry about all of those worldly responsibilities? Does this mean, for example, that you can skip your rent payment this month? Does this mean that you don't have to make your car payments? You don't need to worry about having car insurance. You don't need to have life insurance. You don't need to worry about saving for retirement. You don't need to worry about matters of social justice. You don't need to worry about keeping a neat garage anymore, because those are the things of earth. Is that what it means? Does it mean that we don't need to worry about poverty, that Bono got it wrong about the AIDS crisis? It's not that. Those are the things of earth. We don't need to worry about this anymore. Is that what the text means? Well, how irresponsible, how idiotic, how stupid would that be? That would make no sense whatsoever. That would be a complete corruption. Well, first of all, it'd be a complete corruption of God's word, but it'd also just be, humanly speaking, very unreasonable to get your mind around. Christianity is not about doing different things. Christianity is, well, let's look at the big idea here. This is the big idea for the day. Christianity is a different way of doing the same things. Christianity is not about coming up with a new list of things you do. It's about a different way of doing the same things that we have been doing. So here's the first thing that we're looking at is this, you know, what does it mean to not think about the things of earth? Well, the Bible goes on to actually explain this, fortunately, what is involved. And so let's look at verses 5 through 9. Okay, when the Bible says, don't think about the things of earth, this is what it means. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking in you. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. So Paul, when he talks about the things of earth, he's talking about the things of the flesh. The things in the world which are not part of God's order. He goes on, he says, have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Ephesians 2 tells us that we were all by nature, by our very nature, objects of wrath. But God, in His great mercy, made us alive in Christ while we were dead. Not comatose, not with a weak, but we were dead in our trespasses. And He made us alive in Christ. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. All of this, well, you look at those things, the fleshly sins, the greed. And verse 7 says, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. Colossians is written to Christians. Is there anybody in here who has not been sexually immoral? Raise your hand. I want to see who you are. I want to get to know you. Is there anybody in here who's never been greedy? Raise your hand. I'd like to get to know you. I'd like to learn your secrets. No, you all, including me, the inclusive you, you used to do these things when you were still part of this world. The question is, how can we be in the world and not be worldly? Verse 8 says, but now is the time to get rid of anger, get rid of rage, get rid of malicious behavior, get rid of slander, get rid of dirty language. Don't lie to each other. Paul loves to make lists. But you know, they're not lists of things to do and not do. When Paul makes lists, he's not giving you lists of actions. He's giving you illustrations. He's not telling you that, you know, do this, do that, don't do this, and for God's sakes, don't touch that. Paul's not like that. He's giving you examples that represent a principle. So you can't, if you were to perfectly do these things, this is not what it would mean to not think about the things of the earth, because there are other things. These are examples, okay? But they're pretty good. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. So there you have it. So when Paul says, don't think about the things of earth, he by in no stretch of the imagination is asking you to start doing a different set of activities. What he is asking us to do is to put off the flesh, to mortify the flesh, to kill it. To kill it. And we don't kill it by you don't kill the flesh by putting on your big boy underpants and sucking it up and being a man. That's not how you do it. We're going to get to that. These are the things of earth. Now, those of us who have been walking with Christ for some time, I mean, yeah, every now and then your computer will do something and you have to make a quick decision, and so you may fall. You might lose your temper with your wife and then fall into a fit of, is it rage? Yeah, rage. But by and large, the longer you walk with Jesus, the more you are becoming an overcomer. Not really because you put on your big boy underpants, but because the Holy Spirit of God is working in you. But I guess I'm going to have to go through this slide again. The big idea, Christianity is a different way of doing the same things. False positives. There's a whole other order of things, though, that are still the things of the earth. Now, when we think about getting false positives, what do you think about? Well, I mean, these days you think about what? Athletes and what? Drug testing. Yeah, drug testing. And all these athletes are getting false positives, right? My trainer slipped something in there. Must have slipped something in there. Or I think my deodorant might have permeated my skin and, somehow created a... other ways would be you get false... other false positives would be where you... pregnancy test. Pregnancy test comes back positive, but the woman's not really pregnant. The justice system, you get false positives there. Right? So some of our men in the room are quite aware of false positives there. And then in spirituality, we also get, in Christianity, we also can be subject to false positives. We can do things that we think prove that we are righteous, but they don't. We think that we can do things that show that we are not worldly, but we're wrong. We get a false positive reading on some of these things. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you in Paul's text some of these false positives. In order to do this, those of you who are in October 7, Colossians 3, we're going to go back to last week to October 6, Colossians 2, start at verse 8. And for those of you who can drop all the way back to Colossians 2, verse 4, Paul says, I am telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments, well-crafted arguments. And then in verse 8, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Drop down to 16. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink. Christianity is not about doing different things. It's about a different way of doing the same thing. So don't let anybody condemn you about what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. I had never seen that before. I was a little shocked. So I checked. I checked enough that I can say with some degree of certainty that Paul actually is saying, don't let anybody condemn you for not celebrating the Sabbath. I mean, talk about pushing liberty and grace to the limits. I mean, that's pretty amazing. But that is what the text says. It's what it says here. And that's what it says elsewhere too. And then verse 18, don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial. Don't let anybody condemn you by insisting that you don't see this movie, you don't drink that colored liquid, you don't, you know. By insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Verse 20. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion. Put on your big boy underpants. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. Oh, I love this stuff. I love this stuff because I can do this. This I can do. Love my wife, be tender-hearted, forgive always, you know, okay. That's a lot, but this I can do, you know. Pious self-denial, severe bodily discipline. But, they provide no help whatsoever in conquering a person's evil desires. Christianity is not about doing different things. It's really about a different way of doing the same things. True or false? If you remove yourself from worldly situations, you're not going to have worldly temptations. Here you see, when we're still talking about the things of earth, we see all of the carnal and fleshly things. But on the flip side of that, there's also the things of earth are this self-righteousness, this piety. Look, we all know it. The flesh is deceitful, the flesh is wicked, and the flesh is weak. But the flesh is most deceitful, most wicked, and most weak when it's disguised as piety. It's a false positive. Okay. Look at verse 11 with me. This is a sidebar, Colossians 3, verse 11. A little sidebar, but it's very interesting, and I think we need to make sure we cover it. Verse 10 says, put on the new nature, be renewed. We'll come to that in a minute. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. So just a little sidebar here, just a reminder, there's a lot going on in the world today. But when we talk to people about Christianity, let's remember that the circle is Jesus. And everybody is welcome. Everyone. Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, they're all welcome. Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, they're all welcome. Here, at this Bible study. Charismatic, Catholic, mainline, you're all welcome. Right here. Because we welcome here in the sense that we're promoting the circle. That is Jesus. Okay? Americans, Europeans, Asians, Orientals, Occidentals, black, white, red, yellow, brown, young, old, men, boys, girls, prostitutes, alcoholics, dopers, gays, straights, rich, poor, weak, strong, lower, middle, upper, PhD, GED, I have both of those, by the way, smart, dull, married, divorced, single. Doesn't make any difference. This is what Paul is saying. I really do have both of those, by the way. I quit high school. Did you know that? Oh, man. I'm not recommending that. Christianity is just a different way of doing it. And this is a pretty good example of it, too. That the circle of Jesus. And everybody's well. Christianity is a different way of doing this, looking at the same things. Okay. All right. Now let's go on to the final piece here. What does it mean to think about the things of heaven? Okay, the question we're pursuing is, how can we be in the world and not be worldly? Paul says the way you do that is you don't think about the things of earth, not at all meaning your responsibilities, your life, but not thinking in a carnal way or in a self-righteous, pietistic way. Okay, that's so how do you think about the things of heaven? Because he says that's the answer. So look at verse 10. He says, put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become more like Him. Verse 12. And then Paul goes into another list. Examples. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Sounds like the fruits of the Spirit, doesn't it? 13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Anyone who offends you. Forgive anyone who offends you. Christianity is a different way of doing the same things. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, I always love it when Paul says, and this one thing I do, that was last week, now this week he says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Buddha, I mean from Christ, let the peace that comes, peace. Interesting. Christianity is a peaceable religion, not without problems, but it's a peaceable religion. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Christianity is a peaceable religion. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. So how do you think about the things of heaven? Where do you get the power to do this? Where does the power come from to live like this? I mean, do you suck it up, man? Come on, be a man. Stop being a wuss. Suck it up. Put on those big boy underpants. You can do it. You just got to have a strong will, firm constitution. Work out, man. Lift weights. Get in shape. No, that's not how we think about the things of heaven, is it? I mean, when you tell somebody, okay, suck it up, be a man, put on your big boy underpants, you can do this. I mean, it really does have the sound, but it's a human argument. It's Colossians 2. We're not in Colossians 2 anymore. We're in Colossians 3. The answer is that when we say that Christianity is a different way of doing the same things, we don't have the power to do that. I just went through Colossians 3. I went through 2 and 3, but I'm just going to go through chapter 3 with you. And I put a box around every time the word Christ appears. I put a little box around it. So you just listen. This is how we think about the things of heaven. We've been raised to new life with Christ. Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Your real life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of Jesus, giving thanks to him through God our Father. It's Jesus. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where we get the power to do this. So, you have three choices about how to, if you want to be in the world and not be worldly, you have three choices. One is you can withdraw from the world. You can try to change your geography, like the Zealots did back in the first century. You can withdraw. You can try to do different things. The Mennonites are the most radical example of that in our day and age. You can try to insulate yourselves from the things of the world to not become worldly. You can withdraw. You can withdraw, you can embrace, or you can engage. You can embrace the world. You can, when the computer thing opens up, you can take a look. And you can say, well, it's my computer. Nobody else will ever know. Hey, let me give you a little thought. If there's anything on your computer or locked away in a drawer somewhere that you would be embarrassed for your wife or children or somebody close to you to find, then that's worldly. That's worldly. And you have embraced the world. So you can withdraw to think about the things of heaven, not things of earth. You can withdraw, or you think you might try to withdraw. Wrong answer. Or you can embrace, say, well, it's not that big of a deal. Or the third approach is you can engage. You can engage the world. You can put your shoulder to the wheel. A couple of us were talking yesterday about how the concept, it's all up to me and it's all up to God. Moody said, we pray like it's all up to us. We work like it's all up to God. You can go ahead and put your shoulder to the wheel. You can go ahead and put on your big boy underpants. And then you can bring yourself in submission under the lordship of our Savior Jesus Christ, in whom is our life, who wants to give us all things, who wants to let his peace rule in our hearts. And we can engage our rent payment, our mortgage payment, our car insurance, social injustice, the AIDS crisis, poverty. You can even tackle your garage. And you can do it for the glory of Jesus Christ. So how can we be in the world and not be worldly? We do it by thinking about the things of heaven and engaging not a different world, but the world that we already live in. Because Christianity is simply thinking differently about how we do the same things that we've always done. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Golly, it's so interesting, these concepts. So, Father, we know that we are not to leave the world behind, that we're to leave the world a better place. And we know that we need to figure out how to be in the world then, but not be worldly. So I pray that you would help us today to see that it's really not about changing what we're doing, but it's just a different way of doing these same things that we've always been doing. And that while we quickly can see that we shouldn't embrace the world, neither should we withdraw. Lord, show us how we can engage the world that you have given us and bring you glory and depend upon your power, not our own strength. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.